Welcome to The Second Half, an oral history project sponsored by the Women's Studies Research Center and the Journalism Program at Brandeis University. In these oral histories, Brandeis student journalists interview women over 50, from judges to sociologists and from doctors to artists. Though each woman's story is unique, they all show a wealth of wisdom, resilience, and joy in their second half of life. In episode one, Lauren Williams joins Gwendolyn McNeil for a lively conversation about growing up in Detroit, the influence of blaxploitation films, and the importance of chasing after what you want, even at the age of 70.
Gwendolyn McNeil is 70 years old. She has various hobbies, from being a vice president of the Tuskegee Airmen Detroit Founding Chapter, working on her pilot's license, and she's also the second lieutenant in the Civil Air Patrol. She loves to travel, and she expects to be in Ghana in June of 2023. Gwen was born in Detroit during the 1950s, which at the time served as a mecca for many Black people. As a child in the city, she had many memorable experiences, such as meeting the stars of Motown.
Growing up, I met Sammy Davis Jr., Lady Day. The reason I did was Mom saved and scrimped and put us in an apartment building where they actually bought weed back then before it was what it is now. They would come into town. They would be performing at the Flame Show Bar, the Gotham Hotel. I was raised at a time when Black, we were pretty self-sufficient. We had our own hospitals, our own, before they put I-75 downtown. But growing up in Black Bottom, the expectation was that we could do anything and nobody told us differently.
Although Gwen grew up in a city that honored her Blackness, she acknowledges that the rest of the world wasn't always like that. She recounts a time where her and her mother were subjected to injustice and racial profiling.
We would take the Greyhound bus to Lake Charles to visit her family. And there was one particular time, I may have been about 4 years old, because I was in my pink party dress and I would got on the bus and bounced all over the place like kids would, because I wasn't about to sit still. And I remember this as though it were yesterday, when we passed the Mason-Dixon line and we changed bus drivers. And the bus driver then looked at my mother and he said, "Get to the back of the bus." Well, my mother was 5'1", 110 pounds, and she's looking up at this guy saying, "I don't have to. The law says I don't have to." But he looked so evil, he scared me. And I had never thought about racism before that, but I was afraid he would hurt my mom, and that's all I had. But the look on his face is something I hope never to see again. But unfortunately, we're seeing it now that Trump's let the dogs out, those kind of looks. That we did the rest of the journey. Mama was fuming. She even let me have a gigantic glazed donut that she never would have given me otherwise because of the sugar rush before Krispy Kreme. She didn't say anything to me then, but in hindsight, later I realized we never rode a Greyhound again. She saved up the money for us to fly.
Gwen told me that ever since she was a little girl, she has been fueled by curiosity. And her mother, who she describes as fearless, played a key role in her journey to pursue her passions.
I was a child who wanted to, of the space program, and I wanted to be an astronaut. My mother was kind enough not to remind me I was Black at the time when they weren't taking Black women as pilots and or astronauts, but she let me take all of her flour out of the kitchen and make paper mache rockets and use her all of her nail polish to paint them. She always encouraged me to follow my dreams, even if, as I guess the best example would be, you're going to college and I'm not paying. Well, I found a way to go to college and she didn't pay. I got a scholarship. Mom never made excuses. She was my best friend and worst critic. That balance of the scales didn't always equal. But she, as I said, the idea, it never occurred to me to question when she said, "You're going to college and I'm not paying," that I couldn't do it. But she was always my best supporter.
Gwen was one of the first people in her family to attend college. She remembers during her undergraduate time at Michigan State feeling a lot of shame as a Black person due to the overwhelming amount of Black exploitation movies.
So all of those milestones of our history had its good and its bad. The good part is, yeah, there were Black movies, but who actually made those movies? It wasn't us.
Yeah.
That was not our voice. That was not our day-to-day lives. We were all drug dealers and prostitutes. And, you know, there was no role models in any of that. Mm-hmm. In high school, they took us to see Gone with the Wind, and a handful of us who saw Butterfly McQueen were on the floor hiding. The portrayal was embarrassing.
This type of representation and negative media connotations didn't just stay on screen.
I hired somebody from Africa to be my counselor, and I really wanted her. I knew she would be great. She started, say, that Monday. The following Monday, I walked in the office and her entire family is standing there in full regalia. Phyllis, who and why are they here? And she said, my family is happy that you hired me, but they're afraid because of what we see in the movies about Detroit. And they want to make sure nobody's going to mug me.
Oh, no.
They flew over. They came over. There were about seven people standing in our living
room. Oh, no.
And then when she said that, I thought about it. And I said, if you learn about who Black folks are from what you see in the movies, God help us. You really do think we're out to mug you.
Oh, no.
We don't realize that what we send out there really does have effect.
Throughout our interview, Gwen painted me a beautiful picture of her life. From being a curious little girl to going to college and pursuing her career, and even now getting her pilot's license, I initially asked her what advice she would have for young women who are trying to find their footing in life. But she quickly reminded me that all women, regardless of their age, are constantly evolving and trying to find their own path in life.
They're all kinds of ages, and you can have a young that age and you can have a very old that age. It's what you put into your own mind, what your own goals are, that define what that looks like for you. When I mentioned that I'm taking pilot's lessons at 70, most people will look at me like, why at 70, why would you want to do that? But I don't see myself as a decrepit 70. Yeah. I lift weights. I do what I couldn't well want to do. That hip replacement has stood me in good stead. What I would say to any young woman is, first of all, always be true to yourself. Don't let anybody's negativity, and that's hard to do, but don't let anybody's negativity define what you become. And if you can't do it for yourself, surround yourself with people who reinforce that message. Anytime you don't do that, you open yourself for a different kind of abuse. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I believe negativity is a form of abuse when you internalize it and you help have somebody negative define what you could possibly be. Have high expectations. You might not reach the stars, but you might reach the moon. If you start out with water finding its own level, if you start out level, you'll go down. If you start out maybe at the higher end of the lock, you might make it up further. And that's one of the lessons I think my mom gave me. The other part of that is, don't confine yourself to what people think you should be. If you like rockets and you're a girl, so be it. I didn't even know about the Hidden Figures folks. And that just, I knew all the Mercury astronauts. I knew the names of their space capsules, but nobody said anything about them. And that pissed me off. So therefore, learning from your history, knowing your history, looking out for your history and those things that they're not going to tell you.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to do either, but it takes a little bit of work, but it takes work to do or be anything worthwhile.
Throughout this interview, I was so taken by Gwen's curiosity and wonder. She has this drive and passion, which allows her to achieve her goals and her dreams. I think her story exemplifies the importance of self-confidence, believing in oneself, even when our dreams seem out of reach, impossible, because they never really are. And we owe it to ourselves to be fearless.
Thank you for listening. This project is affiliated with The Second Half, a book by photojournalist Ellen Warner, published by the Brandeis University Press in 2022. Our student journalist team includes Lauren Williams, Brenna Perlstein, and Jillian Bersovsky. Our show music is written and produced by Bethel Adekobi. Our project manager is myself, Claire Ogden, and our consulting producers are Neil Swidey and Iris Adler. We would like to also thank Stephanie Lawrence, Harleen Singh, and Kristen Mullen from the Women's Studies Research Center. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.